Now go back to Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15, and you find how he did it. Now, I think I enjoy this because of my background in philosophy, because there are some benefits in having been a philosopher and having learned to reason. But, and I don't think I can go into this in the detail that my mind would love to go into it. But Jesus spoiled, if you look at verse 15, he disarmed principalities and powers. Whose principalities and powers were those? Satan's, all right. The same principalities and powers spoken of in Ephesians 6:12, where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenlies. So Jesus defeated them and stripped them of their weapons, and he made an open show of them. And then what we need to understand is on what basis he did that. Because until we understand the basis, we can believe it in theory, but we cannot apply it in practice. What is Satan's great weapon against humanity? Now, you could give me many answers, but I'm only going to accept one. I think I heard somebody say it timidly. Guilt, that's right. Guilt. See, I'll give you a little picture, which is just out of my imagination, of something that could have happened way, way back in what, who knows how many ages ago. We do know that Satan, at least in the time of Job, had access to the presence of God. Because when the angels came to present themselves and give an explanation of what they'd been doing, Satan joined the throng. It's typical of him because his attitude was, well, God, I know I made a mistake, but here I am. I'm still coming to your presence. And according to my understanding, the only person who spotted Satan was the Lord. See? Because Paul says he can be changed into an angel of light. Anyhow, then you remember that God and Satan had a discussion about Job. Are you perhaps rather glad that you weren't the person they had the discussion about? I picture Satan is impudent, he's defiant, he's a braggart, he's got a big mouth, and I picture sometime Satan saying to God, listen, God, I know you're a righteous and a just and a holy God. I know that well enough. I know I'm a rebel. And you see that lake of fire and brimstone that isn't in heaven and isn't in earth up there in outer darkness. I know that's where I'm headed, God. I know I deserve to go there. I'm not arguing. But listen, I just want to tell you one thing, God. You see those human beings that you made in your image and likeness that you love so much? I've made them rebels just like me. You know that. And so, God, remember this. When you send me to that lake of fire, your justice demands that you send them too. Just keep that in mind before you dispatch me and my angels there. And I picture God just keeping quiet. Sometimes the best way to deal with the devil is not to argue with him. That really hurts his feelings. If you ignore him, that really upsets him. And God didn't say, but he had a plan. You know what his plan was? His plan was Jesus. And so along comes Jesus. He's the last Adam. He's totally identified with the Adamic race. And Satan goes after him and procures his death. But as he dies on the cross, he's the representative of the total Adamic race, and all our guilt is laid upon him. He pays the total penalty, and when he dies and is buried, our guilt is banished if we will believe. We have to accept it by faith. And so you understand what God has done? He's made a way for humanity to be reprieved from the lake of fire. And yet in his justice, he can forgive us and punish Satan. And there's never a suggestion anywhere in the Bible that Satan has any other destiny but the lake of fire. Jesus did not take upon him the nature of angels. He's not a substitute for angels. He's the last Adam. He's a substitute for the whole Adamic race, but only for the Adamic race. And one of the things that I think eternity will be too short to discover is why God cared so much about the Adamic race. It's, I think, the most amazing fact in the Bible. And there's a lot of amazing facts in the Bible. If you read your Bible and never get astonished, I don't think you've understood it. It is an astonishing book. And so on the basis of what Jesus did, you understand, God can now justly punish Satan when it suits him and justly acquit those who accept the sacrifice of Jesus on their behalf. We're not acquitted unless we avail ourselves of the sacrifice.